Texas, America, the world. This isn't Mason Williams, but it is Mark Dankoff substituting for Michael Collins Piper, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Good to be with you tonight. We have a series of news stories that we'll be covering, including my own op-ed piece for Al Bawaba entitled Obama, the Gaza Holocaust, and the Absurdity of Hope. From that point, we'll go into what Pat Buchanan has to say about the potential collision between Bibi Netanyahu and Barack Obama. We'll be taking a look at what James Petras has to say about Bernard Madoff. Petras basically takes the same position I do, that Madoff isn't such a bad guy after all, with some of the people that he has cheated. We're going to take a look at organized queerdom tonight. Why is Barack Obama on the front page of the Time magazine of international queerdom, The Advocate? If you take a look at the current issue, if you happen to be at Barnes & Noble or at Borders, there's old Barack staring out at you from the front cover of the Great Voice of International Queerdom, and there is a rhetorical question printed there. What will he do for you first? There are all kinds of things that Barack Obama plans on doing for the homosexual rights community. Ted Pike has been covering much of this for the National Prayer Network. But folks, you don't need to look any farther than the White House official website to figure out what Barack Obama has planned in the promotion of homosexuality, abortion, and stem cell research, and we'll be talking about that a little bit tonight as well. The Jewish Daily Forward has a post on Israel's access to American secrets. The Forward has been attacking James Bamford, the National Security Agency expert, for exposing Israel's role in being involved in keeping American citizens under surveillance. Some of these Israeli telecommunications companies, according to James Bamford, have been facilitating NSA spying against American citizens. Maybe they're listening into the show tonight. I hope so. And then, of course, Michael Chosadowski has an essay that's been out there for a number of days now, but I think it's a very, very important essay. It's entitled War and Natural Gas, the Israeli Invasion, and Gaza's Offshore Oil Fields. You know, it's interesting, folks, a number of days on my own show for RBN, which airs 7 to 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings, Mark Dankoff's America, got a call from a friend in Tennessee telling me about a group known as the Delek Group, D-E-L-E-K, the Delek Group. There is a post out of Tel Aviv on Reuters talking about the Delek Group. It's a very interesting Israeli natural gas consortium. Reading the information about the Delek Group, and that again is D-E-L-E-K, it dovetails very nicely with what Dr. Chosadowski has to tell us again at globalresearch.ca in that most pivotal post entitled War on Natural Gas, the Israeli Invasion, and Gaza's Offshore Oil Fields. Getting back to my op-ed piece then for Al Bawaba, it's entitled Obama, the Gaza Holocaust, and the Absurdity of Hope. Not the audacity of hope, folks, but the absurdity of hope. I note that the great Messiah has been inaugurated this January 20th in the midst of a sea of media fawning tainted with millennial overtones. If you look through the rest of my essay, I make one thing absolutely clear. There is one part of this messianic aura of Barack Obama that I do agree with, just one, and that is that he's not George W. Bush. However, when it dawns in the public that Barack Obama is not Jesus Christ, and that Barack Obama, although he is certainly not George W. Bush, he certainly will have a program of his own that will facilitate the same New World Order globalist Zionist agenda that Mr. Bush was promoting. Maybe at some point there will be a few intelligent people out there who see George W. Bush and Barack Obama as two sides of a counterfeit coin. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff substituting for Michael Collins Piper on the Republic Broadcasting Network, coming to you live tonight from San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Kelarex from scienceformulas.com. Kelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Kelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Kelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Kelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Kelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Kelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
This is Mark Dankos substituting for Michael Collins Piper tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas. As I indicated at the beginning of the show, we were going to look a little bit at my op-ed piece tonight for Al Bawaba. It's entitled Obama, the Gaza Holocaust, and the Absurdity of Hope. We're all going to take a brief look at five or six other news stories tonight that I think are of merit, and I hope that you will have an opportunity to read those at your leisure on the World Wide Web. And then, of course, there are a couple of things I'd like to put in a plug for tonight. You can meet up with me this coming Sunday at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in San Antonio for my 10:30 in the morning service there. And by the way, you think the church has got problems? I'm looking at a Lutheran liturgical calendar for pastors. And if you don't think that my denomination is messed up, listen to this, folks. I'm reminding myself of what I have to do this Sunday. And it's telling me that it's the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany in the church year. It is reminding me as a Lutheran pastor that my ordination stole, which I have to wear this Sunday, is the green color. The green color. Underneath that it says Super Bowl Sunday. So I'm sure that the more modernistically oriented Lutherans out there that are more concerned about professional football this Sunday than they are about Jesus Christ are probably starring the fact that it is Super Bowl Sunday this coming Sunday, as opposed to the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. I'm not opposed to people watching professional football, by the way. I will be watching the game later, but it is kind of ridiculous to me that in the pastor's liturgical calendar that I'm staring down at this thing, and it's informing me not only of the fact that it's the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, but also the Super Bowl. One other thing. I'm going to be in Houston on the 15th of February for an event being sponsored by Coptic Orphans, as in the Coptic Christian Church of Egypt. I am not an Eastern Christian. I am a Western Christian. I'm a Lutheran pastor, of course, as many of you know. But from time to time, I have helped Coptic orphans over the years. They've invited me to this fundraiser over in Houston on the 15th of February. If you want more information about that, check it out at www.copticorphans.org. Back to what we were talking about at the top of the hour, Obama, the Gaza Holocaust, and the Absurdity of Hope. That's my op-ed piece at Al Bawaba. If you look at that essay, you will underscore several things, I am sure. One thing that many of us on the right should take heart in, and it's this, folks. Barack Obama is not Jesus Christ. We already know that. The media hasn't figured that out yet, but we already know it. When everybody else figures out that he isn't Jesus Christ, there's going to be real trouble ahead. I say in my essay that 1 year from now, the pink and black rainbow coalition that got Barack Obama elected will awaken to the sober fact that the Second Advent did not materialize on January the 20th, 2009, in Babylon by the Potomac. That constituency and Mr. Obama himself will be struggling to tread water in the lake of fire. I'll let you read the rest of the essay, of course, in great detail, but I simply want to emphasize that as dark as things look now, I think that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I found it rather comical that on the front page of the Washington Post on Sunday, which I read every Sunday morning, there was a post there that was talking about Ayman al-Zawahiri, allegedly the number two guy at al-Qaeda. At least according to the mainstream media, that's the role that Mr. al-Zawahiri plays. Supposedly, in a video of November the 16th, al-Zawahiri described Barack Obama as, quote-unquote, the House Negro. The House Negro. Now, of course, I don't use that kind of verbiage myself as a Lutheran pastor, but I find it comical that Ayman al-Zawahiri used it to describe our 44th president. Al-Zawahiri went on to say that Barack Obama is a front man for powerful white interests. Powerful white interests. I think Ayman al-Zawahiri would have been more accurate, assuming that he himself was depicted accurately in the Washington Post, which is iffy in and of itself, but assuming that he was, al-Zawahiri would have been more accurate to say that Barack Obama is a front man for Jewish Zionist globalist interests. That is, in fact, more to the point. And it seems to me that as you look at this whole business of Barack Obama, you don't need to look any farther, as I say in this essay, than the appointment of Rahm Israel Emanuel as his chief of staff to figure out what's going on. My good friend, Orthodox Roman Catholic, Dr. E. Michael Jones, who's been on my show on RBN, has a new book out there entitled The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit and Its Impact on World History. He also, in the December 2008 edition of Culture Wars, has an essay entitled Meet the New Boss, The Catholic Vote and the Logic of Empire. There, Dr. Jones really lays it out in regard to who Rahm Israel Emanuel really is. This is a guy who served in the Israeli army. His father was a key member of Menachem Begin's Irgun in its terrorist heyday in the 1940s. And Rahm Israel Emanuel, who is now the chief of staff to Barack Obama, has been the leading recipient in the Congress of PAC money for the most tainted elements of the financial services industry on Wall Street. The audacity of hope, Mr. Barack Obama? As I put it, it should be entitled The Absurdity of Hope. As you go through all the different things that I say are going wrong in this country, and I have a very extended paragraph which gets into that, take a look at all of the things that I indicate are in composite a for sure sign that the United States is in the process of going down the tube. In that regard, I really dovetail in my argumentation with what Igor Panarin has to say. I don't know if any of the other guys on the various RBN shows have talked about Igor Panarin, but my essay at Al Bawaba mentions him with a link to his post at the Wall Street Journal. This is a guy who has been in the Russian KGB. He's now an instructor at the Russian Office of Foreign Ministry. And his thesis is that the United States is going to break up into four sectors, each dominated by a different foreign power. And Panarin basically believes that economically, politically, morally, and militarily, the United States is approaching a great, great crossroad that will cause it to break up in terms of what it's been in the past. I basically indicate in my op-ed piece that while I don't necessarily endorse some of the specifics that Professor Panarin predicts in his very prescient essay for the Wall Street Journal, I do agree that some version of his portrait is about to be painted and very soon. Something else I'd like to mention that I do mention in this essay, folks, you can see what's coming with Barack Obama and with his pink and black coalition if you go back and look at Franklin Delano Roosevelt. What happened then? What is happening now? There was pump priming of the economy at the time of FDR between 1932 and 1940. It didn't work. What did work for FDR, however, and for the people who are managing him, was a global war. I've mentioned before on my show for RBN on Sunday mornings that Robert Stennis has a book entitled Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor. It absolutely proves, folks, what the establishment has been denying for years, and that is that Roosevelt not only knew about the impending Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, he provoked it. Stennis's book is full of Freedom of Information Act documents, which underscore the truth of what I have just said. Who are the people that were really behind FDR? Charles Lindbergh identified them in his 1941 speech in Des Moines, Iowa. That was 67 some odd years ago, of course. But the interesting thing is that his speech also identifies who these players are in 2009. Who are they? Take a look at Rahm Israel Emanuel, and you can figure out in exactly 5 seconds or less who and what it is that is really behind Barack Obama. I also say in that op-ed piece for Al Bawaba that there are a series of must-read articles that will help fill in some of these blanks. I mentioned specifically Philip Giraldi's piece, Pure Propaganda from the Papers of Record. Giraldi has been on my show before. He's been on a number of other RBN shows. He is the Middle East correspondent for Pat Buchanan's American Conservative. He is an ex-CIA agent, fluent in Arabic and many other things. Giraldi is one of the key people that is constantly exposing what is going on with the Israeli lobby. There is a link to his article from my op-ed page. One of the other things that I indicate in my op-ed piece is that there are certain things that you are guaranteed not to see from the Barack Obama administration or any other presidential administration in this country or from our Congress, Republican or Democrat, because of who it is that is really running the show. You look at central banking, you look at the media, you look at the educational system, you look at the Hollywood entertainment industry, you look at many of our most significant book publishing houses, you look at who and what it is that is controlling the Congress of the United States with all this PAC money, it all goes back to the same people that are running Rahm Israel Emanuel and that are running Barack Obama. If we were to have a new Declaration of Independence for this country, if we in fact were to have the beginning of real change and real change leading to some semblance of temporal hope, we would have to have a Declaration of Independence from the Israeli lobby. And in my essay, which I hope some of you have had a chance to read, if not, I hope you look at it sometime in the coming week, I suggest, I think I've got about 9 things here that I would lead off with. The first is an immediate cessation of American foreign aid to Israel, all $10 billion a year, and the termination of the $30 billion in new American military aid to Israel that's been appropriated for the next decade. Number two, the government of Israel would be forced to apologize to the survivors of the USS Liberty attack of June 8, 1967. They would have to pay reparations to the survivors as well as to the families of the dead. When we come back, we'll look at some of my other recommendations and then get into some of these other news stories. This is Mark Dankoff subbing for Michael Collins Piper tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
Well, I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Welcome to America. It's time for change. The new president is talking about change. Are you talking about change? You know, changing your lifestyle to become more healthy? Well, here's how the staff at Life Change Tea feels. Make the change to be healthy before your body forces you to change. Organ failure, sickness, chemical poisoning, toxins, and much more. They'll force you to change for the worse. A willing change is much better than a change by force. Call Life Change Tea now. 928-308-0408. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. You heard it. Getthetea.com. Make an investment in your life. Life Change Tea. Oh, and P.S. You'll lose some weight.
Mark Gampow substituting for Michael Collins Piper on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas. You can hear me live on RBN Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. if you happen to be awake. I'm usually only about half awake when that show starts, but at any rate, if you don't want to listen to it live, you can always catch it in the archives. Mark Gampow's America, of course, in the RBN archives, and all the show descriptions are right there. Before the last commercial break, we were talking about my own ideas for having a new Declaration of Independence for the people of the United States from the Israeli lobby. Talked about a cessation of foreign aid to Israel, a public apology on the part of Israel to the USS Liberty crew, a dictation of terms to Israel for the legitimate establishment of a Palestinian state, and an apology issued to that new entity by both Israel and the United States for crimes committed by Israel against the Palestinians since 1947-8. Here's one that I think a lot of people who don't agree with me on some other things will agree, that we should have the number 4, the immediate termination of all Israeli espionage operations and networks in the United States. Jonathan Pollard should be publicly executed for treason. There should be honest trials for AIPAC's Steve Rosen and Keith Weissman on the identical charge. We'll see if Thomas Ellis up in Alexandria manages to continue to suppress the truth about these two IPAC guys. I understand the venue for the case still is Ellis's court. There will be, I believe, the beginning of a trial. I think I read in April. We'll have to keep an eye on that one. Ben-Ami Kadesh would also face a treason trial in the United States in a legitimate venue. And it seems to me that upon legitimate trial and secure conviction, Mr. Rosen, Mr. Weissman, and Kadesh would also join Pollard with their respective necks in about four different nooses on the gallows stand. Only, of course, after being allowed to receive the Julius and Ethel Rosenberg Award from the ADL. Take a look at this business of IPAC and ADL, by the way. They clearly are representatives of a foreign government. They should be required to declare themselves as such. The last four items in my op-ed piece, I think, are self-evident to many conservatives. We need an immediate return of monetary policy to the Congress of the United States, the elimination of the Federal Reserve Board, the elimination of fractional reserve banking. Number seven, we need the immediate termination of American participation in all of these globalist trade treaties and entities, NAFTA, GATT, the World Trade Organization, the FTAA, the World Bank, the IMF, permanent MFN for Communist China, the Import-Export Bank, and so forth and so on. Number eight, we need the immediate enactment of policies to resurrect the American manufacturing industries, accompanied by the abolition of the federal income tax and the repeal of the 16th Amendment, and a return to, quote, excises, imposts, and duties, unquote, as a means of raising revenues for the legitimate operations of the American government. My old friend Howard Phillips at the Conservative Caucus has an awful lot of good information on that subject. You can access what Howard Phillips has to say on that by going to my piece at Al Bawaba and clicking on the link that I provide there to what Howard has to say about this whole business of the income tax. Number nine, the immediate trial, conviction, and imprisonment of every member of the financial services industry in America who has stolen the innocent blind, including Bernard Madoff. Who really profited by the Madoff heist? Christopher Bolin has a very, very fine essay online about what is really behind this Madoff scandal. I have a link at Al Bawaba to what Christopher has to say on this subject. And how are we going to punish all these bad guys in the financial services industry? I have my own idea as to how that needs to happen, and I think we need to take a cue from Vladimir Putin. I finished reading not too long ago M. Raphael Johnson's essay on Putin that was in the September-October 2007 Barnes Review. Dr. Johnson underscores what the Western media is concealing from the people of this country, and that is that these Russian oligarchs who have stolen the former Soviet Union blind since Yeltsin's so-called privatization of the Soviet economy are almost exclusively Russian Jews with strong links and ties to the government of Israel and the Israeli Mossad intelligence organization. These names, according to Dr. Johnson, include Vladimir Guzinski, Mikhail Friedman, Boris Berezovsky, Yuri Shelfer, and the infamous Mikhail Khodorkovsky of Yukos oil fame. Khodorkovsky's Open Russian Institute is a lobbying organization tied to these oligarchs. When you look at the board of directors of the Open Russian Institute, names like Lord Rothschild and Henry Kissinger pop out at you. Get the picture? And then finally, in regard to Bernard Madoff, I suggest that maybe there's more than a reason for a grain of hope. This is seconded, by the way, online tonight by James Petras. Let's face it, I say. A guy who cheats weasels like Hadassah, the pro-abortion cheerleading section of the American Jewish Congress, Sheldon Adelson of Freedom Watch, Elie Wiesel, Steven Spielberg, Mark Rich, and Mort Zuckerman out of a few billion isn't all bad. As I point out in my piece, Bradley Burstyn of Haaretz sure sees the irony, and the ADL is panicked that the rest of us might figure it out. I have links to all of those things that I described there in this op-ed piece for Al Bawaba. And I go on to say in conclusion that the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2, verse 9, seems to be cheating the synagogue of Satan. I seem to remember Jesus Christ saying that a house divided against itself can't stand. Maybe Mr. Obama's The Audacity of Hope isn't such a preposterous title for a book after all. When we come back, we'll look at why James Petras might well agree with that sentiment. This is Mark Dankoff subbing for Michael Collins Piper on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff, substituting for Michael Collins Piper tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, the Alamo City. By the way, you can call me tonight at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Except most of the people that listen to my show are probably asleep tonight so that they can get up and listen to the radio earlier in the morning. It's kind of funny. Of course, Mike Piper's show is on 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time, and I have reduced my schedule to just Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. So the Piper crowd is probably asleep on Sunday mornings when I'm on, and when I'm on tonight for Mike Piper, my people are probably already in bed or, who knows, doing some meditation someplace. So we probably have a complete collision of constituencies here in regard to time clock and time schedule. But I suspect that the point of view that you will get on my show is probably very close to being identical to what you'll hear from the great Michael Collins Piper. And I say that sincerely. Final Judgment is but one of the many, many books of Michael Collins Piper that I have in my personal library. Every one of them signed, by the way. Those are real treasured instruments for me. And as I'm reading through some of the various things that Mike has uncovered for me, I would have to say that my own transition from being an establishment, a sincere but establishment Reagan-Buckley type of conservative toward being the type of populist conservative that I am today is in no small measure due to people like Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn, whose lives and whose reading and whose writing and research has profoundly impacted me. I've been on an odyssey for about 20 years. Many of you who know me know what my life story is and how I have made a transition in these last 20, 21 years from what I used to believe to what I believe now. And I suspect that there are a lot of other Americans out there just like me who are in the process of making that same transition. They may not even know it, but they are. And folks, when that occurs, it's going to be very interesting to see the challenge that people of our persuasion are going to present to the political fraud that has transpired in our own land and how we are going to get this country back. It's going to take some time, and it's going to be very, very difficult and very, very ugly, but I still think it can be done. By the way, talking about Barack Obama and his obeisance to Israel, as is evidenced by the Rahm Israel Emanuel appointment. And, of course, you can go back to June of this last year and look at what Barack Obama told the American Israel Public Affairs Committee in a formal speech to see the extent to which our 44th president has gone overboard in reassuring the Jewish-Israeli lobby that he's with them all the way. But the interesting thing, and Pat Buchanan talks about this today in his essay entitled The Bibi-Barack Collision, Pat definitely shows how the president of the United States has possibly painted himself into a corner. Barack Obama is on record as opposing either the expansion of these Israeli settlements in the West Bank or the so-called natural growth of those settlements, which is Bibi Netanyahu's way of packaging the expansion of the Israeli presence on the West Bank in a way that seems more palatable. But President Obama indicates that he opposes all of that. Now, it looks like Bibi Netanyahu might, in fact, win this Israeli election in a couple of weeks and once again be the prime minister of Israel. That seems, according to Pat Buchanan, to set the stage for a conflict between Bibi Netanyahu and Barack Obama. Buchanan says that that collision appears inevitable. Bibi will be backed by the Israeli lobby, the quote-unquote evangelicals, the neocons, and a Congress that could only find five members to oppose a resolution endorsing all the Israelis had done and were doing to the people of Gaza. That'll be an interesting thing to watch, to see how Mr. Obama attempts to tap dance around the fact that his own administration, of course, has so many Israeli agents in its midst. Rahm Israel Emanuel is the most obvious, but then there's Hillary Clinton, Richard Holbrooke, the list goes absolutely on and on, Dennis Ross, and so forth and so on. It'll be curious if the public figures out that when it comes to our Middle Eastern foreign policy, George W. Bush or Barack Obama, that the tail is definitely wagging the dog. Take a look at that essay by Pat Buchanan. It's entitled A Bibi-Barack Collision. I get it directly from Buchanan's web people, but I think it's already been posted at antiwar.com. James Petras, by the way, has a marvelous essay out there. Just stumbled on this thing a couple of hours ago, and I thought I'd bring it into play with Mike's listeners tonight. It's entitled Wall Street Swindler Strikes Powerful Blows for Social Justice. I found this thing in, of all places, Sri Lanka, a Sri Lankan website, which has reproduced something by James Petras that apparently was originally posted, as near as I can tell, both at the Daily Mirror and maybe at the Financial Times as well. Petras quotes a member of the Palm Beach Country Club as saying that he never thought, and his people never thought, that Madoff, Bernard Madoff, would do this to them. He was one of our people, unquote. And, of course, as you read through the account of Wall Street broker Bernard or Bernie Madoff and this $50 billion swindle that he undertook, taking a lot of money from a lot of philanthropic and nonprofit organizations and a lot of politically oriented organizations, Petras has an awful lot to offer us in conjunction with what Christopher Bolin has already said on this subject. Take a look at what is said by James Petras in this essay. And it's just the strangest thing to see how, in fact, there is an incredibly positive side to Madoff's mega swindle, or as Petras puts it, the inadvertent hand of justice. In my essay, of course, I suggested that the synagogue of Satan has started cheating the synagogue of Satan, and that Jesus tells us that a house divided against itself can't stand. And what we might be seeing here, folks, is the beginning of a phenomenon that we've seen throughout history, and that is what a friend of mine has described to me as the overreach of the tribe. The tribe has had a habit of overreaching in history in a variety of different contexts, in a variety of different empires, in a variety of different cultures all across time, and ultimately it's come back to haunt them every time. I'm reading in Dr. E. Michael Jones' book right now, for example, The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit and Its Impact on World History, that the date of August the 9th continues reappearing. August the 9th, 586, was when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. August the 9th, A.D. 70, was when Titus destroyed the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. That one, of course, was prophesied by Jesus Christ in the Olivet Discourse. The interesting thing is that when you come to, I believe, the year 132 and the date of August the 9th, or Tisha B'Av, what you discover there is that during the Simon Bar Kokhba Revolution, where there was yet another Jewish revolutionary attempt to embrace a political Messiah who would overthrow the Roman yoke, there too, that insurrection was suppressed on the 9th of August. Isn't that strange? Don't know quite what to make of that in terms of a symmetrical theory of history, but there you have it, 586, AD 70, AD 132. August the 9th, in each of those instances, proved to be a day of catastrophe for the Jewish revolutionary spirit of world history, according to E. Michael Jones. I see some things developing now that suggest that we're nearing this same sort of critical impasse for the tribe at this point. We have the central banking collapses and what has happened to our brokerage firms. The American people have awakened to the fact that this bailout is starting to cost not billions but trillions of dollars, and that the chief culprits in what has happened to our economy are members of the same lobby that is supporting this insane American military policy in the Middle East. When the American public begins connecting those dots to a point where there's a synthesis that occurs and a more cohesive understanding and worldview that enables them to read into what's happened to their country, to their family members, to their livelihoods, there's going to be trouble ahead. And what I'm suggesting is that this is going to happen, and that the neoconservatives in the Republican Party, much like the Jewish masters of the Democratic Party, had better head for the hills. Because out there is a public that is becoming increasingly angry, increasingly dispossessed, and increasingly informed. Increasingly informed. By the way, I'm having a guest on my show this coming Sunday who's going to talk about the latest as it relates to something called Internet neutrality. The transnational corporations have figured out, folks, that you and I are getting access to information that they don't want us to have, and that it's largely occurring through the electronic radio shows of the Internet and the print media of the Internet, the so-called alternative media outlets. They've got to get rid of that in some way, shape, or form or fashion. If they can't do it as overtly as they would like, they may do it through the abolition of something called Internet neutrality. What is that? Listen to my show this coming Sunday from 7 to 9 a.m. Central, or listen to it on the archive after the fact. And I think you'll see the beginnings of the strategy that is being pulled together by a very, very panicked elite right now. But James Petras goes on to say in this story on Bernard Madoff that there's no question that the swindle of $50 billion plus dollars is making a big dent on U.S. Zionist funding of illegal Israeli colonial settlements in the occupied territories. It's going to lessen funding for IPAC's purchase of congressional influence and financing of propaganda campaigns in favor of a preemptive U.S. military attack against Iran. Most investors will have to lower or eliminate their purchase of Israeli bonds, which subsidize the Jewish state's military budget. As we continue reading through this James Petras piece, he has all kinds of points to be made that we don't have time to get into in detail in terms of the remaining 16 minutes of this broadcast, but really take a look at this. One of the things that Petras says is that Madoff struck a severe blow against anti-Semites who claim that there is a close-knit Jewish conspiracy to defraud the Gentiles, laying that canard to rest once and for all. Because, says Petras, among Madoff's principal victims were his closest Jewish friends and colleagues, people who shared Seder meals and frequented the same upscale temples in Long Island and Palm Beach. James Petras goes on to list specifically who some of these people and institutions are. He goes on to say that the demise of Madoff's enterprise and his wealthy liberal Jewish victims will adversely affect contributions to the 52 major Jewish American organizations, numerous foundations in Boston, Los Angeles, New York, and elsewhere, as well as the Clinton-Schumer militarist wing of the Democratic Party. Petras points out that Madoff bankrolled both of them as well as other unconditional congressional supporters of Israel. This, says James Petras, may open Congress to greater debate on Middle East policy without the usual high-volume attacks. James Petras concludes, Bernard Madoff's swindle and fraudulent behavior is not the result of a personal moral failure. It is the product of a systemic imperative in the economic culture which informs the highest circles of our class structure. The paper economy, the hedge funds, and all the sophisticated financial instruments are all Ponzi schemes. They are not based on producing and selling goods and services. They are financial bets on future financial paper growth based on securing future buyers to pay off earlier cash-ins. The failure of the Securities and Exchange Commission, says James Petras, is totally predictable and systemic. He goes on to say that in a few days, one individual, Bernard Madoff, has struck a bigger blow against global financial capital, Wall Street, and the U.S. Zionist lobby and Israel First agenda than the entire U.S. and European left combined over the past half century. He has been more successful, says James Petras, in reducing vast wealth disparities in New York than all the white, black, Christian, and Jewish reform and mainline Democratic and Republican governors and mayors over the past two centuries. Interesting. Interesting read. Take a look at what James Petras has to say about Bernard Madoff. He, Petras, is a Bartle Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Binghamton University in New York. Fascinating man. I'd love to have him on the show sometime. What else is out there that we ought to take a look at? Something from the Jewish Daily Forward that I sent to Mike Piper, I think, 48 hours ago. Mark Perlman has an essay at the Jewish Daily Forward posted Thursday, October the 23rd, and it's entitled, A Debate Flares Over Israel's Access to American Secrets. Perlman says that a best-selling author writing about America's most secretive intelligence agency is raising eyebrows with his claims that Israeli intelligence has potentially gained access to sensitive American communications information. Investigative writer James Bamford contends in his new book, The Shadow Factory, the ultra-secret NSA from 9/11 to the eavesdropping on America, that at least two high-tech companies with alleged ties to Israeli intelligence mined American communications data on a mass scale. The companies were hired to help major American telecommunications firms that were cooperating with a national security agency in its controversial eavesdropping program. Bamford has written about the NSA, which conducts a wide array of electronic surveillance activities over the last quarter of a century. While some of the revelations in his latest book have received praise in the mainstream press, his Israel-related claims have been ignored by most and criticized by a few. Gee, I wonder why that might be, Mr. Perlman. Mark Perlman of the Jewish Daily Forward goes on to say that Michael Oren, an Israeli-American historian with the conservative Shalem Center in Jerusalem, charged that Bamford lacked proof to back up the Israel intelligence assertions made in the book. Oren has also criticized a previous Bamford book in which he accused the Israelis of purposely bombing an American spy ship off the Gaza Strip in 1967 during the Six-Day War. Bamford makes far-reaching and unsubstantiated allegations about Jews and Israel, Michael Oren told the Jewish Daily Forward. In his latest instance, he makes two serious assertions, namely that Israelis working in high-tech are Mossad, and the Mossad works against the United States. But in keeping with his previous work, there is no evidence, unquote. Michael Oren obviously has not looked at the evidence of what Israel did to the USS Liberty, for openers. And if you start researching that online, Richard Helms, the director, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, Admiral Moore, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under Ronald Reagan, Dean Rusk, Secretary of State under John F. Kennedy, all say that Israel did attack the USS Liberty deliberately. It's generally believed that they did not want the United States keeping tabs on them in terms of what they were doing during the Six-Day War. Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn of the American Free Press have also satisfied me, in conjunction with Phil Turney of the Liberty Hour, that Israel wanted to have a false flag incident to draw the United States into the Six-Day War on the side of Israel against Egypt. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff subbing for Michael Collins Piper on the Republic Broadcasting Network, coming to you tonight live from San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Back for the last couple of minutes of the Mike Collins Piper Show. This is Mark Dankoff subbing for Mike tonight. I'm coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can connect with my own show, Mark Dankoff's America, on Sunday mornings on RBN from 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time, or just check it out on the archives. We've been talking about a series of news stories tonight, including my own op-ed piece for Al Bawaba entitled Obama, the Gaza Holocaust, and the Absurdity of Hope. Taking a little bit of a look at what Pat Buchanan has to say in his latest post, speculating that there's going to be a major collision on Israel policy between Bibi Netanyahu and Barack Obama. We've been looking a little bit at James Petras's essay tonight on Bernard Madoff, saying that this great Jewish swindler, in fact, has stricken some real blows for social justice, says James Petras, because of the number of Zionist interests that Madoff has cheated. Very interesting thesis that dovetails with what I've said at Al Bawaba. The Jewish Daily Forward, we were looking at this one just before the last commercial break, this post by Mark Perlman of Thursday, October 23rd, entitled Debate Flares Over Israel's Access to American Secrets. The Israeli lobby is concerned about what James Bamford has been telling the American public about Israeli intelligence operating in this country. Bamford's new book is entitled The Shadow Factory, the ultra-secret NSA from 9/11 to the eavesdropping on America. And the names of these companies, by the way, are Narus, N-A-R-U-S, and Verint, V-E-R-I-N-T. Narus and Verint, founded in Israel, and with ties not only to the Israeli Mossad and Shin Bet, but with ties to the American National Security Agency and to its illegal warrantless surveillance program of American citizens that was uncovered within the last year or two. According to Bamford, Narus and Verint were involved in tapping phone and internet communications for, respectively, AT&T and Verizon. Hope they're listening in tonight to the Michael Collins Piper Show and to Mark Dankoff's attempt to do Mike Piper justice here for the next minute or so. One other thing we'll take a look at tonight in the minute that's left, Barack Obama and what he's doing for international queerdom. Mr. Obama is, of course, on the front cover of The Advocate, which is the Time magazine of international queerdom. The rhetorical question there in the cover of the magazine says, what will he do for you first? Well, let's see. Legalization of gay marriage, legalization of gay adoption, full-blown participation on the part of American corporations of benefit packages for homosexuals and lesbians. Those were all listed by The Advocate. But here's the one that's potentially the most interesting. Removing the don't ask, don't tell strictures on open homosexuality and lesbianism in the American military. That apparently is very high on the agenda of Barack Obama. And when he does that, will that be the final straw for the American military? How many American military officers do you think there are out there in the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, and the Marine Corps who are going to finally say, there's no way. There's no way we're going along with this. There's no way we can do this and maintain unit cohesiveness. There's no way that we can sign off on something that's a repudiation of the morality that we perceive that America was founded upon. How many folks out there are there in the American military that are finally going to throw their hands up and tell people like Barack Obama to get lost? That's going to be an interesting thing to watch in the days ahead. Well, folks, take a look at my piece for Al Bawaba, Obama, the Gaza Holocaust, and the Absurdity of Hope. Hope to see you on Sunday mornings on RBN. This is Mark Dankoff signing off tonight for Michael Collins Piper on the Republic Broadcasting Network, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas. Check out that Coptic Orphans get-together on the 15th of February in Houston. Come to see me down at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in San Antonio on Sunday mornings. You can find us at www.ilcsa.org. God bless you. God bless Michael Collins Piper. God bless the United States of America. See you later. Bye-bye.
With recent internet